Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to a special edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio this Friday. We've got a special guest coming on shortly from Castlight Health, Dr. Christopher Whaley, who is the University of California, Berkeley Assistant Professor of Health Policy and Management and works closely with the Castlight team on research, particularly in this program, talking about reference-based pricing. And how that really helps employers and patients lower the cost of care. So it'll be really good to have Dr. Whaley on here in about 4 minutes or so. So again, I want to thank everyone for joining us today on this fall day. You know, good to have you here. Look for us next Friday on a regular time slot, 11 o'clock on Healthcare Consumerism Radio, 11 o'clock Eastern on Healthcare Consumerism Radio. You know, while I'm waiting a couple minutes, I want to give you an update on what's happening here at the IHC, particularly around our events for 2017, and ask you to follow us closely on our website, theihccforum.com. We're going to circle up our wagons and consolidate our private exchange forum content subject matter with our very successful annual IHC Healthcare Consumerism Forum in Atlanta. And that'll be the third week of May. We're finalizing details shortly. So our Private Exchange Forum Dallas is going to be co-located with IHC Forum and Expo with the goal of really building a very strong conference with 1,000 to 1,500 attendees and, you know, 67 sponsors. So if you want to know more about it, reach out to us. If you got speaking ideas, you want to consider sponsoring, check out theihccforum.com. Also, you'll see on Monday, we're going to make an announcement. We've already announced it on radio, but we're going to become more public with our Superstar and Innovators Awards. And again, you can follow that at theihcc.com. We urge you to check that out. Some really great, well-deserved award winners will be recognized from leading innovators in the space to key employers, benefit buyers, key benefit consultants, policymakers, et cetera, in this space. So check out theihcc.com. Go right to our website, our front page, you can see it. We'll also be rolling out probably later this month a new digital magazine format really around our annual superstars. So, you know, follow that news with us too. I think you'll be excited to see this. I think it's going to be much more reader-friendly platform for everyone to consider. It's going to offer any advertisers, marketers, an exclusive pay for performance model. So an advertiser doesn't pay anything if they don't get anything. So, you know, I think that the market has always embraced our content that our team has done a great job on with healthcare consumerism solutions and healthcare exchange solutions, you know, publications. So we're going to put this on a new platform and reach out to the marketplace to kind of serve your information needs and to really offer you a better opportunity to market via these platforms. And again, only pay for what you get. Well, I'd like to welcome our guest on the program today. Joining us from California is Dr. Christopher Whaley. Doctor, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Doctor, give us a little of your background. You know, your work at Berkeley, your work with Rand Corporation, and then specifically here at Castlight, and then we'll move into the discussion on reference-based pricing.
Right. So I'm an assistant adjunct professor of health policy and management at the University of California, Berkeley, and then also an associate policy researcher at the Rand Corporation. But I've done a lot of work in research using data from Castlight, looking at both price transparency and then also insurance benefit design.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you joining us, and reference-based pricing is certainly a large topic of interest right now. And for our audience that may not understand reference-based pricing, just give a little definition, if you would. What is reference-based pricing?
Yeah, so I can start with an example. So a couple of years ago, the California Public Employees Retirement System, or CalPERS, which is basically the co-op purchasing benefit arm for most California public employees, noticed that for many common shoppable services, there's a lot of variation in prices. So, for example, for colonoscopies, prices ranged from about $400 all the way up to $6,000 or $7,000. And there wasn't really much difference, or really any difference in quality along that price difference. And so from CalPERS perspective, and the perspective of several other payers, that difference in some sense really represents waste. And so what CalPERS did is they said, you, the patient, can go to any in-network provider you want to. But if you go to a provider with a price above a certain price threshold, which is called the reference price, which for colonoscopies in this case is set at $1,500, then you essentially pay the difference between the provider's price and the reference price. And so it can be a pretty strong financial incentive for patients to shop and go to lower price providers. But one of the interesting things that we found in our study is that patients really did respond and ended up going to much cheaper providers. So the average price for a colonoscopy for CalPERS fell by a little over 20%.
Wow. So where did this all – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Christopher. I didn't mean to interrupt
and we also found that reference pricing saved CalPERS and its employees about $7 million just for colonoscopies.
Yeah. Where did this all originate? Where did reference-based pricing originate?
So it really originates from how many European countries reimburse for pharmaceuticals. And in the last couple of years, we've seen several U.S.-based employers adopt the principles of reference pricing to cover shoppable services. So there have been employers that have launched reference pricing for things like lab tests and diagnostic imaging. But then all the way up to knee and hip replacements.
That's great. So in your work there at CastLight, and from you and the CastLight team, what are some of the drivers that you find, move employers to introduce reference-based pricing?
Well, I think sort of the smart employers really recognized that there is this wide variation in prices, and under most insurance benefit programs, patients don't really care much about price. And so if you can do something in a targeted fashion that makes patients more responsive to price variation, then you can get patients to actually shop for care.
Okay. So get them to shop for care, and what are some of the other factors that drive employers to introduce reference-based pricing?
In some sense, the main driver is to get people to go from high-price to low-price providers. And then also what we've seen with CalPERS and some other employers is that, especially larger employers, they just kind of want to shake up the healthcare market and introduce price competition to providers. So right now, providers don't have much of an incentive to lower prices because patients don't really have much of an incentive to go to low-price providers. And so if you introduce a system like reference pricing, then the price competitiveness in the market as a whole evolves.
Yeah, so it's going to drive savings to that employer themselves, and also savings to their employees who have these high deductible plans today, correct?
Correct, exactly. And as consumer cost sharing through high deductibles and other types of programs increases, then we think that reference pricing will become more and more important.
And it also exposes these excessively expensive providers, does it not?
Exactly. So reference pricing is a clear way to tell patients who the most expensive providers in the market are, as long as it's combined with some sort of transparency mechanism.
Yeah. So do you believe the market is headed for greater adoption of reference-based pricing and price transparency?
Well, certainly, I mean, there's been a tremendous growth in price transparency. There has been a pickup of reference pricing, but it's been a little bit slower than price transparency. But we are pretty hopeful that it will be continue to be adopted, largely because, at least from our research, this looks like it's one of the few programs in healthcare that actually leads to savings and pays for itself.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I think that, you know, we hear the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, you know, we can't move towards true consumerism unless we have true price transparency and kind of the tools and solutions like reference-based pricing to work in conjunction with it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's both the combination of giving patients access to prices and allowing them to see what providers charge, but then also giving them the financial incentives to go to lower price providers. So in some sense, reference pricing or reference-based pricing paired with price transparency really hits that sweet spot of doing or combining both types of incentives.
So when you go kind of beyond some of these initial services like colonoscopies and laboratory tests, where do you see reference-based pricing working kind of next? What are the next kind of frontiers that it should be applied to help, you know, get this cost under control?
Well, one of the nice things about our research on reference pricing and reference-based pricing is that we've been able to look at a couple different services and a couple of different employers. So as I mentioned earlier, reference pricing has been put in place, you know, all the way from, you know, lab and imaging tests up to knee and hip replacements with outpatient surgical services in between. And for those services, we found a pretty consistent effect for each of those services. So there's about a 15 to 20% reduction in spending across the board, regardless of the type of service. And so I think the key for reference-based benefits and reference-based pricing is not necessarily to expand the scope of procedures and to try it on new things, but we have a good sense of what works for reference pricing, and so I think it'd be important for other employers to follow the wave of innovation that some of these leading employers have done and to adopt reference-based pricing.
Yeah, so we just need to get the word out. We've got an education challenge in this market about, you know, what reference-based pricing can really do to help them. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you look at your work there and what other trends are you seeing that can lead to greater healthcare consumerism and transparency? What are you looking to address there with your work at Castlight and other things, and what other trends do you see from the very unique seat that you have?
Yeah, so I think it's, as you said earlier, just kind of getting the word out. And in some sense, the blueprint is already out there in terms of what CalPERS and Safeway and other innovative employers have already done. And so it's really up to employers just to follow that model and to, in some sense, the wheel doesn't need to be reinvented, but access just needs to be expanded.
Yeah, so what are some of the roadblocks aside from education that you see that need to be addressed?
I think it's just maybe one of the roadblocks is that there's just a lot going on in healthcare benefits right now. And so how can we raise the issue of, you know, the solution in some sense of reference pricing to the top of a myriad of other potential solutions?
You know, I was with a group of benefit brokers talking recently, and you know, they raised and they represented some quality mid-sized, larger mid-sized companies, not your typical producer, smaller. And, you know, they raised their hand and say, if you can help us get our arms around reference-based pricing, that is the most important thing we can be doing for our clients. And that's really the heart of what you're talking about today on this show, on this program.
Yeah, and I think at least kind of from the benefits world, reference pricing was of interest for a while, but then I think things like narrow networks and more sort of accountable care, integrated care system have kind of taken over. But I think as maybe those initiatives haven't quite been as successful as initially hoped, that there's been increased attention back to reference pricing. And I guess one of the things that, you know, is really appealing about reference pricing is that it's fairly easy to implement. And so it's not like a coordinated care type model where you have to sort of, in some sense, implement this whole organizational structure. For reference pricing, you essentially just need to sort of identify where the reference price should be set and then make sure you do a good job of educating the patient.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Christopher, it's been great having you on the program here today, and I'd like to give you a minute or so to kind of recap and leave our audience with some final takeaways and let them know how they can kind of, you know, follow any information there at Castlight to better understand reference-based pricing.
Yeah, so I think the main takeaway point is that if you look at pretty much any healthcare service, there's just a tremendous amount of price variation, and it's important to get people to shop for care and to not go to the high price providers, and so reference pricing combined with price transparency is one solution to get people to be more responsible consumers of healthcare.
That makes a lot of sense. And Christopher, how can they find out more about this at Castlight?
So Castlight certainly has a lot of information about reference-based pricing. And then we have also, along with my fellow researchers, James Robinson and Timothy Brown, published several recent papers about different employers' experiences with reference-based pricing.
Great. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us, taking time out of your schedule today. You have a great weekend, and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. And to our audience, thank you for joining us on this segment of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. Did he show you how to get this up on the site afterward? You know,